Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
We will always hold you down here on Jhené Angola Jr. A lot is going down in the world of sports and in the world, I feel like, in general. So if you missed week one in the NFL, we will make sure you get caught up. But first, Jhené Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here on Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jhené Angola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Moolah. Learn more at progressive.com. Now, we're talking about the NFL in week one, but in about half an hour, we will get back to week two with Laura Rutledge of NFL Live. But this is a huge time for us because we are debuting a new segment. Is there a sound for that?
Do we have stuff for this? Oh, no.
Let's go.
Good old-fashioned football music. So,
yes.
Number five.
Whoa. We didn't explain anything yet. You're just firing off numbers in here.
Okay, it's okay. We'll go with the flow. You guys, week one, in case you missed it, I know there's school being back. So much going on. We've got sports. What do we have? NBA playoffs, NFL started, NHL, MLB, so many sports. But we are here to recap week one for you with top five, bottom five, a new segment in which we tell you our top five things from the week one, you know, the week in the NFL. And also, I mean, I'm leaning into the optimism and you're going to just do you and tell us the worst things that happened.
Shout out to Ryan McGee, bottom five godfather. We pay our respects around here to those that came before us. But yes, we want to start off on a positive note. Top five, bottom five, the top five things that you saw in this opening NFL weekend, Jhené. All right, Cliff.
Number five.
I think you spilled the tea on your own movie, but it's okay. Number five, health. Health. When it comes to the NFL, Adam Schefter, our own, you know, released the COVID numbers, and it's just a major win. You know, at the start of week two, there was information when it came from the testing between the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs, you know, players. No one was positive for COVID. Everything came back, including employees of teams, negative. This is really great because, you know, for the first matchup, you see all the interaction. Football is obviously there, and to have all negative tests, that's a good look. And also, this was the opening week, and we have to shout out KB and TV for giving us this nugget. The first opening week of the NFL season that no quarterback was seriously injured or benched since 2011. So week two will be the first time since 2011 when all 32 quarterbacks who started week one take the field for a second consecutive week. So that's a good thing, right? Health.
That is mind-blowing. And it'll actually lead to a conversation we're going to have in a little bit. Some tough news out of the world of college sports, but why this NFL situation might give a lot of people hope for what we see on Saturdays. But absolutely great news on that, Jhené. You love to see it. This was the huge test. We talked to Adam Schefter about this the other day, that seeing the results for the teams coming off of week one was going to be a big, big marker.
Very important. And that's the number one thing overall that's important. You know, health, especially in the climate we're in today. Number four, Cliff.
Number four.
We are a food-friendly show, and guess what? It was Zeke's tattoo. Zeke's tattoo, this might be a controversial pick for something that was good, but I loved it because after scoring a touchdown against the Rams, now, again, they lost, but it's okay. The tattoo made up for it. He lifted up his jersey to show a Feed Me tattoo, complete with, I believe, there's a spoon on it as well. We are a food-friendly show. We love food. I feel like this tattoo was an ultimate flex.
Ultimate flex. We are the foremost show of tummy tattoos. We celebrate that each and every day. Extra love. Benny Snell had a great game for the Steelers with the Snell Yeah belly tattoo going off there. More of this in the world right now. Pro male midriffs, but certainly tattoos when you can get it. Don't worry about getting old, getting flabby. Live in the now. You got abs. You got a right to roll your shirt up and party.
Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're here giving you our top five aspects from week one in the NFL. Now, this one really touches my heart. Let's go to number three, Cliff.
Number three.
Get ready for the snaps. Now, I feel like this deserves it by itself. The Washington football team had a rough offseason. There were allegations in the front office. There are situations that they had to deal with on the field. First of all, they won, which is great. Like, this is a good look, right? But more importantly, we saw and we've heard so much from Coach Ron Rivera. You know, after taking the head coaching job, Ron Rivera, I remember, said, you know, really challenged Dwayne Haskins, his quarterback, to become a better leader this season. And I think there were words like in the locker room where he had like a stirring speech, you know, that type of stuff. But the story here is that Coach Rivera, even, you know, he's dealing with his own personal health situation where he was diagnosed. Help me here. Was it it was some form of cancer. There was cancer in his lymph node. And so he's coaching, he's leading this organization to get a first win, but also get an IV at halftime to make sure he's, you know, energized up and hydrated and everything. Get an IV at halftime and be out there and to still do his job, to me, was a beautiful thing. And I think he deserves snaps.
No doubt about it. It was a great moment. The rest of that organization is a tire fire. They have a lot of very real problems to address. But like you mentioned, Ron Rivera was basically asked to fix all of it when he came in. That man has had the weight of that entire franchise on his shoulders since he stepped foot in there. And so to see him get the game ball after a great moment with their team, nothing but good feelings and congratulations for Ron Rivera.
All the good vibes. Here we go. Number two.
Number two.
I have a question for you, Junior.
Okay.
Are we sleeping on Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh, I know one person in here in our building isn't necessarily, but we might all be sleeping on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in year two for Matt LaFleur.
So get this, Aaron on Sunday had the best quarterback game, you know, relative to the league average of week one. The sixth best game of his career and his second best game since 2010. His targets had an average of, get this, 3.11 yards from their nearest defender. This was in the win versus the Vikings. He's 36, turning, I think, 37 in December. But like, for a guy that's super talented and still doing this at an extremely high level, I think we are sleeping on him. So, you know, I'm going to give the number two spot to someone who actually did something great on the field.
He's a bad man.
He's a bad man who had shade for one of our friends, Noah. We'll get to that with Laura Rutledge here in a little bit. But Chinee, finish it off. We're here.
All right. Finally, week one, NFL, best story ever, number one spot. Hit it, Cliff.
Number one.
We're all about love here on Chinee and Golic Jr. So, of course, I'm going to rep my side pieces. I'm going to rep my side piece teams in the fantasy game, okay? Let's start here. Let's start with Arizona. It hurts my heart, kind of, because DeAndre Hopkins, you know, left my Texans, but still, he's found a nice, you know, tag team partner in Kyler Murray. For them to start off against, you know, one of the two teams in the Super Bowl last year, the Niners, and to get a win, that's great, because this is, I've dubbed the Cardinals as one of my side piece teams. For those who don't understand, I'm from Houston, I rep the Texans. Did I make the Cowboys my side piece team too, just because I said I claim all teams?
Like, you're getting a little reckless with the label, quite frankly, so you can say this is about love. This doesn't feel like love. This feels like the other thing.
You're right. I feel like I'm playing the field. But really, when it comes to Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler targeted him 16 times, completed 14, and the trade just looks really great. And plus, they get the win. And of course, my number one pick in the side piece action, Cam Newton, for him to rush for 15 times for 75 yards. You know, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectation after your, I don't even know he's going to try to fill, you know, the shoes of Tom Brady, but step into his own shoes in New England. My side piece teams did really well. I mean, I'd hope that my main piece team would have done something, but at least the side piece teams are holding it down. So for me, the number one story, young QBs that sort of can be overlooked, had strong starts when it comes to Arizona and New England, for me at least.
You just like bought a little bit of jewelry for your side piece right now, right? Like, you're still not going to go out to dinner together in public, but a little something to show that there's love here and appreciation when the main isn't holding it down.
Exactly. Like, I claim you, I'm going to give you a gift, I'm going to bless you a little bit, you know, but don't say my name in public. Like, that, we're not there yet.
Get a daily page, weekly ring. Holding it down for the side pieces here is Chinee Igwumike. That's the top five portion of top five, bottom five. We will get to the bottom five that I've got holding it down for this week and some names that will not surprise you in that one. But coming up next, a surprising bit of hope for the world of college football that got some tough news today. We'll get to that next. It's for Chinee Igwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Oh! He did it.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You heard a little bit of it, but I'm proud of it. First and last, that's where our love affair really began, Junior.
Chinee and Golic Jr.
Janann Golick-Jugger here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Quick reminder, y'all, we are taking you straight up to 6:30 today, straight to the Celtics Heat matchup on ESPN Radio. Also, tonight, Thursday night football, Browns, Bengals, two of the four teams who came up clear, which is really great news, which we discussed on our last segment. Top five, we're going to get the bottom five soon, but top five, four teams coming up clear in the coronavirus testing, which is great news for the NFL. But I feel like, you know, we feel good about the NFL and the testing, and that's largely because there's daily testing. In college, that's been a question, right, Junior?
Yeah, it's been a question, and it's been the source of the biggest amount of uncertainty around being able to protect the athletes at the college level that we mentioned yesterday. Don't have a lot of say in what goes on here, and so you're left with a lot more headlines like what we saw this morning surrounding the Charlotte football program, who got some tough news, having to postpone their game coming up this weekend because of the contact tracing element of things. Again, right now, most NCAA teams are testing three times a week, but that leaves a lot of room for other things to come into play here. And so the contact tracing that's been a big part of the way that this disease has been attempted to be controlled by a lot of people had, with I think only one positive test for Charlotte, but with the contact tracing, the majority of their offensive line unable to go and play this weekend. And so their game gets postponed. But, Chiney, we look now at what happened, as you mentioned, with the NFL, and in between that, there's the Big Ten. And I feel like this might be the biggest source of good news for college football, and we want to get into that a little more with something we call one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
It is Janann Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and this is one and done. And I guess that's what it comes down to, Janann. We talked about the decision for the Big Ten to reverse yesterday, but how much confidence do we have now based on what we're seeing from the NFL? Because this is a big hurdle that got cleared for teams to go, travel, play opposing teams from a different area, dealing with a different, you know, cross-section of the country, and come out of this with all negatives the way that the Bengals and the Browns did ahead of Thursday night football. For you, the Pac-12, we know, just recently, entered an agreement to go along with the daily testing as well whenever they choose to return. Does this give you more confidence in the world of college football to be able to succeed?
In your words, when I asked you yesterday, how do you feel after this Big Ten news, you said conflicted. And I still feel conflicted just because when we talk about the NFL and the daily testing, we know that they're all representing one constituent, a constituent that plays football, you know, that gets paid, and they're all treated equal. Like, their safety is all prioritized equally, which is great. When we talk about the college ranks, this is not just one constituent. You have athletes that are students and students that are not athletes, yet you're treating one of those people, that one of those subsections, different. And so that's where I'm conflicted, because we get daily testing and it's fantastic and I feel good because this is what's necessary. This is the best case for you to have sports to be back. But you have a whole nother subset of people that you are neglecting in the process.
It does make it tough. It does make it tough with all the differences across the board in this situation. And that's what I feel for the most. I say it like this, though, Chiney, because we look again. So Charlotte had three players test positive on their team. But because of those who they came in contact with, the university, the contact tracers, you have to be sidelined for 14 days. The players who test positive are in isolation. And so Charlotte said, we don't have enough players to safely field a team in this instance. That would be something if we had a lot of cross-conference mixing going on, if we had a lot of different schools from different areas with the different legislation going on all around college football taking place in this. But for the Big Ten, who's going to play that 9 or 8+1 game schedule all inside their conference, I understand there are different thresholds, different parts of the country. They're going to have to deal with different outcomes. But part of me looks at what we saw from the NFL and says, all right, if they're testing daily in this instance, now they're still going to have to deal with, you know, players having to sit out 21 days instead of 14 if they test positive. There's part of me that looks at this goes, all right, maybe I feel a little bit better about the prospect of them being able to pull this off.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I do. And now it's, man, I feel good because I don't know if I didn't know that this day was going to really come. And I'm glad it came earlier than what was expected. But I sort of start thinking about the Pac-12 because we're dealing with a lot. You know, geographically, our challenges are different. We also are dealing with wildfires. But, you know, it was nice to see that the Oregon governor and California governor said that they're going to try to make, you know, the necessary steps towards allowing contact practices. And these things sort of go against what we're hearing in our cities. Just just because they know that, yeah, this is different. If they do have the daily testing, like they've been proclaiming to have, like, we should try to make steps forward that may not be the same standards that we have as, like, you know, me sitting in my studio working, you know? So it is good. It's good for the Big Ten. It's good for the Pac-12. I think there's even conversation of a date coming hopefully soon. But yeah, I overall, this is a win, but it's tough because we're still separating the athletes and the students, and that's sort of what weighs on my mind the most.
Yeah, that's the weird part is, like you said, for everyone sitting at home right now in Los Angeles, in these areas around where some of these schools would be affected, they're saying, I mean, going outside right now with the air quality, with everything happening, with the things that are open around the state of California, it's got to feel weird to look at the situation with all these air quotes amateurs and be like, oh, yeah, no, you're good to go, because you're right. The Pac-12, Larry Scott put out a statement yesterday that said the Pac-12 welcomes today's statements by Governor Newsom and Governor Brown, the state public health officials, that will allow for contact practices to return to competition, and that there are no state restrictions on our ability to play sports in light of our adherence to strict health and safety protocols and stringent testing requirements. Basically, it sounds like we got it better than the rest of everyone else in the state, so we're good to go here, which, man, does feel a little weird given the context of everything.
Yeah, it does. But, like, at least we feel better because, like, there was so much criticism of the Big Ten because they didn't give much information at all, right? And so now we're getting the information we need, but it came after the public criticized and the players criticized and all of the above. Now in the Pac-12, we've had the information. I don't know if we've had necessarily the urgency to move timelines up. And I feel like things would be a little bit better if the wildfires weren't going on, right? But that's the added curveball to the equation. But overall, I am optimistic. I feel good. I really do.
I think this is where I'm at with that too, Chinee. It's, we understand that all of this, as a global pandemic goes on and the way it affects our country, is going to be an uncomfortable look. We even talked about it yesterday to Nicole Auerbach. The NBA, being in a hotbed state like Florida and taking tests away from people around there, looked very strange and felt conflicting when that first started. And if we understand that moral dilemma is still going to be there, at the very least, our worry for the health and safety of these athletes can maybe be somewhat assuaged by the fact that, all right, they're not paid, they didn't have a voice in this process, all these things down the list, but hell, at least we're testing them daily, and the people on the ground there are doing the most they can now in places where other students aren't even on campus to try and keep them safe. That's about what we can
hope for.
That's
the major win here. Like, people are getting tested, and hopefully those people that are getting tested can generate revenue that is desperately needed, not just for themselves and their universities, but also for their peers. Again, I always say it, Stanford, one of the hardest emails I got in quarantine was the fact that we cut 11 sports. This is a university that we consider ourselves, you know, first of all, we're the conference of champions, but Stanford, we have always won Director's Cup. So that's where I'm hoping all of that will help each other hand in hand.
That's always the difficult part for me, is I have plenty of friends that played sports that benefited from that, but I always look at the situation and go, I don't think it's Justin Fields' job to pay for everyone else's education on campus by going out there in a situation that might not be safe for them. So it's a difficult situation, but it's one that's at least being made better by some of the advancements.
You say it's not our job, but if we're in their position, we do it. Feel like it's our responsibility.
It's the weird part of all of this. All right, speaking of weird, I got an important question. What happens when a star athlete slanders one of your friends? We got to ask our guest next when she joins us here on Chinee and Gold Jr. after this word from DraftKings. God, it was nice having NFL football back over the weekend. And lucky for us, that was just week one. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. And if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, just head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch, it just means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. And for a limited time, new users, you get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action. Enter code CJR and get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code CJR, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chinee and Golic Jr.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You know what some of my favorite things are?
What's that?
Clapbacks. I don't do them, but I love to watch them go down. We are Chinay Golic Jr., Chinay Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I am so excited to hear your bottom five things from the NFL week one in about 10 minutes. But right now we're on to week two, Thursday Night Football, Browns, Bengals, which means the weekend starts today. Brought to you by DraftKings, America's top rated daily fantasy app. But first, it's time to head to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We are so excited to welcome back our own Laura Rutledge, ESPN NFL Live host. So many exciting things to talk to get to. Laura, but first, we had a conversation earlier about the size of the desk on the NFL Live set. Do you get lonely out there with that much real estate?
Okay, I'm dying that you brought this up because there are so many times where I think that people probably think that I am so small, like, and I am not a small person, but next to that desk, I look like I'm a little tiny ant that's just like crawling over a mountain trying to get onto the other side of the desk. It is so huge. Obviously, we built that desk with social distancing in mind, so that's why it's such a large desk. But man, I mean, you could sail that thing out to sea and you would be good to go for like years and years with all the space it's got.
I can say you could have fit Jack and Rose on that and everybody would have lived through the end of the Titanic. So we would have been good to go on that one. But Laura, I'm curious because on that, we want to get your thoughts coming up on Thursday Night Football here in a second. A big night for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns to try and establish that offense. But one of the people you sit across from on that very large desk each and every day is our friend Dan Orlovsky. And Aaron Rodgers, of all people, had Dan's name in his mouth. So I want to play this sound for you and then get your response with what one of the best quarterbacks in football had to say about our friend.
I saw Dan say something about the best game I've had in 5 years. I think that's an exaggerated take, with all due respect to Dan. I've known Dan for a long time. We were roommates back in 2004 at the Elite 11 quarterback camp as we were both college kids. Played against him a few times. I have a lot of love for Dan. I think he does a great job on TV. But, you know, I think some of his takes may be slightly exaggerated at times.
That shot's fired as far as I'm concerned, Laura. What do you want to say to Aaron Rodgers in defense of Dan?
Okay, so the best part of this was that we got this sound in the show yesterday, like right as it had just happened. And we just told Dan in commercial break, hey, Dan, Aaron Rodgers talked about you in his press conference. We don't tell him what he said. So, of course, Dan's sitting there being like, oh, wow, Aaron Rodgers is talking about me. This is big. As it's playing, Dan is getting so red in the face, and I am starting to feel bad for Dan. And so I will clap back at Aaron Rodgers just a tad, because I do think that Dan sometimes exaggerates just a little bit. He gets real excited about quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers seemingly thought that his performance week one wasn't the best performance that we've seen from him in 5 years. I think that Dan's right about that, and Aaron is obviously thinking that he had some better performances from, you know, in those past few years, but I don't think that's the case. I think Dan was right, and Rodgers just doesn't want to admit it, but at the end of the day, he should be excited about Dan's take, because that means that 2020 is going to be epic when not everybody thought it was going to be for the Packers, considering the fact that they didn't draft him any help from an offensive skill position player standpoint. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, take that.
There we go.
Stand for your
that
man.
That was like the
on
lamest
set.
Clap back ever, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I will take it all day, Laura, when you say, take that. I'm here for that energy. Laura Rutledge, ESPN NFL Live host on Chinay and Golic Jr. Again, stand for your man on set. Okay, but, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, I'm switching gears from confident men to probably guys with a little bit of insecurities. Thursday Night Football, Browns, Bengals. Obviously, you know, the Bengals are coming in and, you know, they're coming off a loss. But I think there's no expectations there, especially when it comes to Joe Burrow, because he can just do so much with this opportunity on the other side, considering that the Browns, there are a lot of questions with Baker and OBJ. What's the preview tonight and what do you expect? How much pressure should the Browns feel?
Yeah, the pressure is mounting on Baker Mayfield. And look, I mean, we kind of saw this coming, even coming into the season. Last year, the Browns, that sexy pick for a lot of people. When you look at their offense, the amount of weapons, you mentioned OBJ, they've got Jarvis Landry, his health, of course, in question for this one. You've got Nick Chubb. I mean, the list goes on and on of the amount of weapons that Baker Mayfield has. They bring in Kevin Stefanski, so everyone thinks, all right, you're bringing in this coach who basically specializes in calling play-action pass plays, which is supposed to be Baker's specialty, and yet they look like they did last week, which wasn't good. I think the reason why the pressure is so high in this one is not only just because Baker himself needs to perform better, that's obvious, but the fact that Joe Burrow and the Bengals are on the other side of this, and Joe Burrow is another number one overall pick at quarterback. If Burrow and the Bengals show more promise offensively than the Browns do, and look, maybe somehow the Browns sneak out a win, but their offense looks bad, I still think people are going to be talking about, wait a second, is Baker the right guy there? Now, I would pump the brakes on that personally, because I think Baker Mayfield is a guy that still has it in him, still has the ability to be this quarterback that can be so exciting and can be, you know, the leader of the Browns' future and get the ball out quickly to his weapons and take care of the football. But it needs to happen quick, right? Like, it needs to happen soon. And tonight could start a lot of noise if Joe Burrow looks better or even, like, as good as Baker Mayfield. And that is not at all out of the question that that will happen. I think Burrow is going to perform well tonight.
We've seen a lot of great stuff from Joe Burrow. Looking forward to more of that matchup tonight. You can check her out, NFL Live, 4 Eastern, every day on ESPN. And SEC Nation kicking off this weekend. Laura, have a blast on Saturday with everybody at the Nation desk. We're looking forward to it, and we will talk to you very soon.
Yes, keep that same energy, Laura.
Oh, always. I mean, you guys can't even pull this energy out of me. It's here all the time. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
Laura Rutledge, again, SEC Nation kicking off this weekend, Saturday, September 19th, as that season gets ready and gets raring to go. All right, we mentioned before we did the NFL Top 5. Coming up next, we usually say in sports it's about the man in the arena. We'll tell you why the bottom five has to go with the man in the stands. That's next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Junior, would you defend me like Laura defended Dan?
Oh, absolutely. I'd probably, like, low-key, Laura Rutledge is, like, one of the kindest, nicest people I've ever met. So the tone of her clapback was not surprising. I would probably have a little more venom just because I'm salty like
that. I'm here for it. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Ogwe McCann, Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Now, in 10 minutes, we're going to give you one more preview of the Eastern Conference Final. Finals game 2, Celtics Heat. But earlier, you guys heard my top five, and it ended up with my number one, you know, my side pieces, New England and Arizona getting wins. But I'm ready for yours, because this means we're going to talk about the bottom of the barrel. What you got?
The bottom five portion of top five, bottom five here on Chinay Ngola Jr. And yeah, listen, I don't like to be negative, but at some point we got to point out the things that are wrong. So Cliff.
Number five,
the NFL Week 1's version of Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Josh Rosen, practice squad player for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in the stands watching the debacle that was their game against the Saints. And it just was an update and a reminder of how hard and how fast life can come at you in the NFL. Josh, a former top overall pick with the Cardinals, now sitting there in a visual that really hit a lot of people hard over the weekend and reminded us, Chinay, that draft class outside of Lamar Jackson right now is in some tough situations. Baker Mayfield, the top overall pick, Sam Darnold at 3, Josh at 7, or Josh at 10, and Josh Allen at 7. So not all that glitters was gold in that class besides Lamar.
It's true, but don't you feel good that he's willing to show that he's trying to be a team player throughout it all? Because, like, if I was in my feelings, I'd be like, I don't know, do I need to come? Can I go get treatment during this? Can I go get treatment?
That's an easy one. Helmet tap, got to go get treatment in that. And, yeah, that's why he's at number five on this one, because I think a lot of people are in some way rooting for guys that are talented to always find their way through, and especially with the round robin of coaching changes he's been through. Number four. Number four, big shot to the side of the tank on this one. Our win never for Trevor Decree for the Jacksonville Jaguars got thwarted by the mustache man himself. Gardner Minshew and the Jags get an unlikely win over an Indianapolis team. People had a lot of expectations for Chiney. You were the one, I think, that coined the phrase, and so far a rough start for the tanking hopes.
I don't know. Was it me? I forgot. It was someone on our team, but win never for Trevor. That is the aspiration. But then you go on and mess around and win. What would you rather have? I'd be split if I was a fan.
If I was a fan, yes, this is a good reminder because everyone always says, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, players are never going to try and tank. That's why we said this team is in trouble if your goals and aspirations are to get high enough in the draft for Trevor Lawrence, because that guy Gardner Minshew's got too much of that juice to his game.
He didn't get the memo. He didn't get the memo.
Nobody told him the fight was over. Number three.
Number three.
We've been talking about him a lot today, Chiney. The Browns offense checking in at number three. A lot of expectations this season, and so far, through one game, a lot of cause for concern. Now, we said it's not a just win, but or not a must win, but a just win in this situation, Chiney. And one of the things that stuck out to me, Laura Rutledge mentioned this when she was on with us, 19% of the Browns' dropbacks were play-action shots. That was good for 22nd in the league on week one. Who are some of the teams in the top five that you might ask? Well, I don't know. The New England Patriots, who used play-action 40% of the time. The Los Angeles Rams, who used it 39% of the time. And the Ravens and Chiefs, that were both tied with 33.3%. It's no secret. Play-action helps every quarterback across the league. And for some reason, Stefanski and the Browns forgot that that was a thing that you could do a lot more often than they did.
You said something earlier today. You said that they need to remember that, like, they just need to at least be the sum of their parts. I thought that was insightful.
It was, and we look for that. You brought up the comparison of the Clippers, a team that we look at on paper that looked so brilliant going into this season, and yet when it came to crunch time, couldn't perform. I think that's the least that we could hope for this Browns offense, is that you add up to Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham Jr.,
please,
and Jarvis
Chubb.
Landry.
Please, Chubb, for my fantasy team, please, but keep going.
Chubb fantasy owners crying out on this one. Cliff.
Number two.
So I thought it was bad this weekend, just in some short bursts. Stephen Gostkowski and the NFL kicking overall that we saw this season. Gostkowski obviously had a poor showing in the back half of the Monday night doubleheader there, getting uncomfortable, taking his shoe off on the sideline in ways that hurt my heart to watch. But, Chiney, I didn't realize how bad it was all over the weekend. We saw certainly the end of the Bengals game, the best efforts of Joe Burrow thwarted by a kicker on the final drive. But in total, the league combined to miss 19 field goals in week one. There was only one game out of the 16 played that there weren't any missed kicks in. Shout out to the Packers and the Vikings on that one. So NFL kicking in week one, got to pick up the slack.
And we all know why. It's because in this environment with no or limited fans, the mental game hits the kickers the hardest. It's like silence. You'd rather hear someone boo you, you know, when you're kicking than nothing at all, because that's when you get in your own head. At least that is our theory here on Chiney and Golic Jr.
It is Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're taking you up to coverage on ESPN Radio of NBA action tonight, Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 between the Heat and the Celtics. And yeah, I think as we've watched all of these sports try and take place in a bubble environment, it's been sort of wild to see that, because Chiney, we used to be in practice all the time. When it came to field goal practice and preparation, trying to create that environment, the team getting buck in the background, trying to throw kickers off. And in this situation, you're right. There's got to be part of the job that's a bit eerie right now.
Look, when I used to be in a gym that was quiet and I was playing with my sister, I'd be like, say something to me so I don't just hear silence or just quiet. Like, say something to me so I'm like, okay, good. Like, because once you get in your head, you see what happens. Plenty of misses.
Plenty of misses to go around. Per ESPN stats and info, the Titans are 1-for-9 on field goal attempts in their last 9 regular season games.
And I would like to also say that the hardest free throw is not the one when it's quiet. Also, it's when it's quiet and you're by yourself. Like, you know, when everyone's at half court on a technical or something.
Not good.
Sneaky, crazy aspects of sports. But continue. I'm so excited for number one.
Cliff.
Number one.
This should surprise absolutely no one.
Oh, I know where this is.
It's the New York Jets. I mean, just an abject disaster. And the worry now becomes, as you look at the rest of this team's schedule, Chinay, and what the Jets have coming up for the rest of the year. They're taking on the San Francisco 49ers, who are coming off a loss after week one, and then at the Colts, home versus the Broncos, home versus the Cardinals, at the Chargers, Bills, and then at Arrowhead to face the Chiefs. That's not good.
Adam and the Jets.
We'll see for how much longer. This
how
is
long a, I can we, sing that?
As, well, no, we trust your singing voice. That is one thing. I will defend your singing voice and our right to sing on this show against Sarah Spain and the hordes
Thank
of
you.
People that want to tell us no.
Thank you, work husband.
But I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to defend this version of the Jets. And it's tough. You know, you draft protection with Mekhi Becton. He goes out there and looks good in week one, but overall, Sam Darnold did not have time. He does not have weapons, and this did not look like an outfit that's built to win a lot of games.
Yeah, you have opt-outs. You have players that leave for elsewhere. What is it, greener pastures? And then you also have a quarterback that you hope to develop, you know, especially moving in, and that just doesn't happen. And you don't want to waste his years, and that's what it looks like.
That's the biggest worry in all this. I think if you're a Jets fan, your chief and principal worry and your concern has always been, how does Adam Gase gel with Sam Darnold and develop him as you now get later and later into his early stages of his career where everything soaks in for these young quarterbacks? Might have to start worrying about long-term effects for Sam Darnold and what he might mean for the Jets.
I'm a little worried, like, how long will the Jets stay at number one on our bottom five?
That is a question that we'll bring back up next week. We bid farewell to everyone in the ESPN News. We're going to go over to ESPNU for the next hour here on Chinay and Golic Jr.